This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
The following program, The John and Gordy Morning Show, is brought to you by John Peterson and Gordy Young, a wholly owned subsidiary of John and Gordy Productions, in association with Civic Media and the John and Gordy Company, Incorporated International. And now, here they are, John and Gordy. We're sorry.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Friday.
Yeah,
wrapping up this holiday week.
The week that we're off.
Yes.
We're here, though.
We're here, but we're not here. Through the magic of technology.
Are you a ghost?
No, we're just recording these in advance so we can take the whole damn week off.
Oh.
Just, you know, relax. Sleep in, you know? On our Verlo mattresses.
Feel like a normal person.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Verlo mattresses.
Yeah. This portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can dream bigger and sleep better and, you know, on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com and ask about their lifetime guarantee. So here we are, Friday, December 27th. And should we get right to the National Day calendar?
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. There's really not very much on there.
Isn't there really?
I know it's sad. It's very sad, but
I'm heartbroken. Oh, well.
I know.
Oh, well.
I'm not going to make you guess. I'm not going to make up any fake ones. There's only one thing that we're celebrating today.
Wow.
One thing and one thing only. Can you guess?
No. No.
You don't want to guess?
Sam
already knows.
Really? Okay.
I know everything, John.
Quite the choices out there, you know?
Well, it's, get this, it's National Fruitcake Day.
Oh!
When was the last time you actually had a fruitcake, a slice of fruitcake?
I can't remember a time.
It's only happened once in my life. I didn't hate it. Most people hate it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
You don't put candy in a cake like that. You just don't do it.
It seems wrong.
I suppose now with the marijuana gummies, you know,
that's a fruitcake that I can get with.
I think that's the kind of fruitcake we should be buying.
Yep. Well, across the U.S., fruitcake lovers, young and old, commemorate today as National Fruitcake Day. They're made sometimes with chopped candies or dried fruits or nuts or spices, sometimes soaked in spirits.
Oh, man.
Put some alcohol in them. Why not?
I hate that.
Crap. Fruitcake has been a holiday gift-giving tradition for many years. It dates back to ancient Rome, and some of them have been around that long. Yeah. The earliest known recipes list pomegranate seeds and pine nuts and raisins.
Ugh.
Yeah. All mixed into a barley mash. What the hell?
This sounds like trail mix, but in a bread form.
Yeah, records indicate that in the Middle Ages, makers added honey and spices and preserved fruits. Recipes for fruitcakes vary from country to country, depending on available ingredients.
It sounds like your food scrap
just
pile.
Awful.
And then you just add some honey and you're on your way. Holy crap.
Yeah. In America, they have mail-ordered fruitcakes. Those began in 1913.
Yeah.
1913. The expression in 1935, the expression nutty as a fruitcake was coined. The phrase came about as a result of excess nuts in some southern bakeries added to their fruitcakes due to the access to cheap nuts. Most mass-produced fruitcakes in America are alcohol-free.
You're putting John back to sleep.
I'm sorry. Let's just move on. Nobody cares about fruitcakes. Ugh.
We hate fruitcakes.
Yeah.
You know, and they added nuts to everything in the old days.
Yeah,
they did.
I know.
It was some kind of, I don't know, expensive ingredient. Mm. I put nuts in it, walnuts in it. The wrong walnuts, but that's fine.
Let's forget about fruit. There must be some food item that would be better than fruitcakes, don't you think?
I think there's probably a much better idea as a gift.
You know, I was
that
listening.
That replaces the fruitcake?
Yes.
Fruitcake is not a gift. It's like something that you give if you want to insult somebody or tell them that you don't
like
them.
Like a lump of coal.
Yeah.
I was listening to NPR radio the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I happened to grab my recorder, my cassette recorder that I still haven't used. And I recorded this thing off of NPR. It made me hungry, and it made me think about, you know, holiday foods. Let's play the damn thing.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
Hello, nice I'm Margaret Jo McCullen. Yeah.
And I'm Terry Rialto. And you're listening to The Delicious Dish on National Public Radio.
Now, Terry, it's Christmas season again, our favorite time of year.
That's right, Margaret Jo. Holiday time is when the most wonderful culinary wishes can come true. Now, what's on your list this holiday season, Margaret Jo?
Well, Terry, I really got greedy this year. I'm asking Kris Kringle for a wooden bowl, some oversized index cards, and a funnel.
Ooh, a funnel. That'll be great for funneling.
I know. I feel like a glutton. What's on your list, Terry?
Well, I'm only asking Santa for one thing, a big box of glue traps to help me deal with my excessive rat problem. Now, tell me, are you, Margaret Jo, going to leave any treats out for Santa this year?
Oh, absolutely. I always do. I like to leave Santa some tap water and rice. If Santa's anything like me, Christmas foods really wreak havoc on the old digestive system. What are you going to leave, Terry?
I can't ever leave food out in my apartment because I have an excessive rat problem.
It's neat. Santa's fun.
Santa's fun. Neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
Fun. Like
good
Christmas.
Times. Good times.
Neat. Well, Christmas is a time for traditional foods and bite-sized treats, and we have a very special guest today.
That's right, Terry. He's the owner of his own holiday bakery with a very, very clever name. Seasons Eatings.
That's really funny.
I know, it rhymes with Seasons Greetings.
Please welcome the owner of Seasons Eatings, Pete Schwetti.
Welcome. How are
welcome,
you?
Welcome, Pete.
We like the name of your store.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, did I pronounce your name correctly?
You sure did. Pete Schwetti.
Well, Pete, Terry and I have been looking forward to having you on the show because we know you're the master of all kinds of Christmas goodies. Tell us about them.
Well, there are lots of great treats at this time of year. Zucchini bread, fruitcake. But the thing that I most like to bring out at this time of the year are my balls.
Balls. Tell us about your balls, Pete.
Well, over at Seasons Eatings, we have balls for every taste. Popcorn balls, cheese balls, rum balls, you name it.
Wow. My mouth's watering just thinking about those guys.
It's been years since I've seen any balls.
Would you like to see my balls now?
Yeah. Whip them out.
Whip them, baby. Wow. You have some beautiful balls.
They're bigger than I expected.
I know a lot of people tell me that.
Look at that, Terry, the way they glisten.
That's because I make sure that each one of my balls gets plenty of oil.
I can't help but notice, Pete, your balls are a little misshapen.
That's because I rested them on a hot stove for too long.
Can I touch your balls?
Go ahead, but be careful. They're very delicate.
Wow. I can't wait to get my mouth around this ball.
Ooh, I like the way your balls smell.
Do whatever you want to them, ladies. My balls are here for your pleasure.
Wow, Pete, I have to say your balls are so tender.
Well, there's no beating my balls. They're made from a secret sweaty family recipe. No one can resist my sweaty balls.
Nothing delicious. Like a sweaty ball.
Sweaty balls.
Good times. Mm.
Good times.
Mm. Good times. Mm. Time.
Oh. Hello. Our producer, Glenn, is gesturing to us from the technician's booth. And it looks like very good. He's telling us to wrap it up.
I guess that's all the time we have today, Terry. So join us next week when our topic will be that other holiday favorite.
Fragrant salty nuts.
Hey, quick plug. If you order from Seasons Eatings now, we can still send out a special sweaty ball sack in time for Christmas.
Ooh, great idea. My niece would love a sack of sweaty balls.
Man. Saturday Night Live. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the amazing thing about that bit is that no one broke out laughing. They were all just as deadpan as you could possibly be. How
exactly.
did they do that?
I don't know. Yeah.
That is almost a miracle. A miracle on 34th Street, wherever they did that.
That's it. That's it. That's a Christmas classic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, we can get away with playing that.
Yeah. Well.
But I can't say the S word. Now I'm going to get on
here
that
we
bad
go.
Way again.
Here we go.
All right.
Again.
That's okay. That's all right. I'll live with it.
All right. Okay. Well, we've got a lot more to come here on today's Friday edition.
We do.
John and Gordy. Yeah. And, you know, we'll be back live in the studio this coming Monday.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Live and direct.
Yeah, unless,
from
you
downtown.
Know, we oversleep.
Yeah.
We're used to being off, you know, relaxing, taking the time. All the time we want to do whatever it is around the house, taking care of this, that, the other thing. You know, cooking this and cooking that, you know.
I know. It's just kind of weird, you know, with Christmas being on Wednesday this year.
Yeah.
It's just, it's odd.
It's
hard
to
usually
fit
you have a four-day
in.
Weekend, but we just decided to take the whole week off.
Yeah.
Why not?
It never happened.
Yeah.
Not in my lifetime in radio. Never.
It's the first time for everything, John.
Yeah. And I'm so glad.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Coming up, we have... Oh, we got to open up the history book, right? You think?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All that and more coming up on John and Gordy for a Friday morning.
Cannot wait.
Right here, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Trying to stay away.
Well, this song will perk you right up.
Yeah. 92.7 WMDX.
You going to play the whole thing? Or?
No.
Why
not? Such a good song. I know you want to hear it.
We're playing it because of reason, right?
Fruitcake. Well, you mentioned fruitcake earlier, and you mentioned leaving the cake out in the rain.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Richard Harris. Whatever happened to him? He was a famous actor, especially in Britain.
Yeah.
And in the U.S.
I think he was a big star in Camelot.
I don't think he had a big song except for this one. This became a huge hit, believe it or not. It's just goes on and on.
I know, obscure lyrics.
Very weird lyrics.
The hell knows what they're talking about.
Okay.
All right.
But now it's time to open up the history book for today, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you see what happened on the 27th day of December.
Well, this time I dusted off
wait,
the dark.
Wait.
There's no dust.
Well, Sam is choking to death again.
No, you didn't, John. You didn't dust it off.
I thought you dusted it off.
Well, I thought I did.
God. Gonna have to get a lung transplant.
Oh, wait. I dusted off the wrong book.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay. Whew. Well, now that we've got it open, what is it telling us? What do we got today?
Let's see.
This day in history.
Today in 1900, Prohibitionist Carrie Nation, who was known for carrying a hatchet with her wherever she went, walked into a bar and tore the bar to pieces with her hatchet.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, that was her thing. She was a prohibitionist, and her method of getting her message across was to literally destroy a bar.
Wow.
And all the alcohol with it, probably.
Yeah,
right?
Bust open all the barrels, dump it on the floor.
What a waste.
Yeah.
How many people do you think there were, like, with their lips on the floor trying to get one last slurp? Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it sounds bad.
That'd be terrible if you had a few drinks and then she comes in. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, it's performative protest. You know, it occurred to me that instead of this damn book that you have, that all this stuff, can't we just digitize all this?
You want to get your e-book thing going again?
Yeah, the Kindle. Get the Kindle out for your own.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it, John.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, this is traditional. We got to go with it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
The waning days of paper.
What?
I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, coming up in the new year, I'm gonna be starting college classes again, but online. Hopefully, I don't have to look at online textbooks again. I hated doing that before. Anyway, back to the history. Let's see. Today, and you probably know the significance of this more than I do. Today in 1932, Radio City Music Hall opens up.
Oh, a beautiful place.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple of times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's big. It's huge.
What did you see there? Or did you just take a tour?
I don't remember. It was a high school tour, and we went to New York and for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah. Took a plane, and it was a big snowstorm. We had to land in LaGuardia or somewhere else. I don't know. And
air travel was cheap enough that you could have done it in high school at that age?
Yeah,
wow.
It was cheap back
Planes, then. Trains, and automobiles.
Yes,
that's right.
Yes.
But, we saw a bunch of plays and went to Radio City Music Hall. I don't remember what we saw there, but the Rockettes were there. That's
Did
where
you
they
see
made
them?
Their claim. Yeah,
Did you
they
see
were
their
there. Yeah.
Performance? Oh, you guys, oh boy.
Yeah, I think I was 16 years old. Yep.
That was the
it was
wrong
amazing.
Age.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else going on?
Today in 1947, Howdy Doody makes his first appearance on television.
That
Howdy
is so
Doody.
Cool.
Before
so cool.
he had his own show, it was on a different puppet show on NBC, and he apparently was popular enough that he got his own show.
I guess there were two shows simultaneously, one in Canada and one in the U.S.
Is that right?
But the one in the U.S. was the popular one.
Mm. Canada? What was he doing in Canada?
Buffalo's right across the Niagara River there.
Buffalo Bill hosted the one in U.S., and I can't remember the name of the other host who did it in Canada.
Oh,
probably
I don't
did it in a Canadian accent.
Could be. My long story, and I've told this before, but I'll tell it again. My mother worked with Buffalo Bob
that's
Smith
right.
before he was Buffalo Bob Smith. They worked in Buffalo, New York together, and that's where he came up with the idea. But he was just on the radio there. Yeah. Along with Bob Keeshan, he was also there, who became Captain Kangaroo, and before that he was Clarabelle the Clown on the Howdy Doody show. And Foster Brooks worked there. Foster Brooks, the lovable drunk.
Yeah,
and my mom.
The lovable drunk did not go over well on Captain Kangaroo or Howdy Doody.
they phased that character out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it didn't
for the
work.
Kids.
It didn't work. Kids didn't know what he was doing.
But Foster Brooks, man, he was great. If you watch the old Dean Martin roasts, they're still hilarious, even though, you know, I mean, he plays a drunk, but, you know, he
did
it so well.
Do we still laugh at drunks? I suppose we
do. I don't know. It's probably not, politically correct or anything like that, but he was very funny.
If it's Pete Hegseth, then we should laugh at him.
Yeah.
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 Anything else happen on this date, or is that
We've got a birthday. It's Louis Pasteur's birthday, born today in 1822.
invented pasteurization.
Exactly. People apparently rediscovering even the raw milk community, people rediscovering that if you boil raw milk, then it makes it safe to drink.
Yeah.
And that people don't realize that that is exactly what pasteurization is.
It is. It is.
I think you simmer the milk. You don't boil it. Right.
Well, yeah.
Did they pasteurize when you worked at that cheese factory?
Yeah.
Did you get involved with that?
Of course.
Or did they bring the milk in?
They pasteurize. See, this is the thing about the cheese factory. They didn't actually make cheese there.
Oh, what did they? Was it just a distribution?
They took giant blocks of cheese, like 600-pound blocks of cheese, and then they cut it down into the small ones that you'd buy in a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing. Let me just add.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people put their cheese in like a sealed container of some sort. And I thought, wait a minute.
That's not good.
If we do what they do in the stores where they sit on the shelf for a long period of time, they wrap it in cellophane.
Yeah.
Just do that at home. Mm-hmm. And it caught on with my family. So.
Well, I'm confused. What else would you do? Like put it in Tupperware?
Yes, that's what they do. They used to just put it in some kind of supposed airtight container.
And it wasn't airtight.
No, I mean, there was air in the container already. What you do is you prevent the air from hitting the surface of the cheese and you use that with plastic wrap.
You'd be surprised how moldy the cheese gets at a cheese factory and how much they let fly. Not let fly, but you just scrape the mold off and then send it down the line pretty much.
Okay. Now we know the rest of the story.
Exactly.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for this segment.
I've got a lot of plastic on my brain because of that. But.
Okay. We are coming back with much more of John and Gordy in the Morning for this Friday in just a few moments.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Einstein's Express, where we move your package so fast that we actually break the time barrier. In fact, we guarantee that your package will arrive at its destination at least 12 hours before you send it. Einstein's Express, when it absolutely, relatively has to get there the day before yesterday.
Well, that was purposeful. Einstein's Express. I like it. All right. And by the way, that is a name that cropped up in Mike McCabe's latest Substack article.
Really?
Between Nothing and Everything. You talked a little bit about Einstein. And I want to get into that. What you're looking at basically are two sides of the aisle here, technically. Bottom line, looking at the left and right. One uses faith and the other uses facts. Tell us how you brought up Einstein in this conversation.
Well, I was telling Sam while you were off the or during the break that he asked why'd you write about Einstein, and I said, well, I just saw an Einstein quote in a newspaper editorial, and then my son wanted to see Oppenheimer. He had never seen it, and my wife and I rewatched it with him. And so that's what got me to thinking about Einstein, but with all the, the mess that we've got in our world, I thought, hey, why not summon the dead and try to penetrate a far greater mind than my own to make sense of what's going on in our world. And Einstein is such a fascinating character.
Such a normal individual.
And, one of the things that I marvel at is here's a guy who was an intellectual giant, and cooks up the theory of relativity and figures out E equals MC squared and all of this stuff. But he really never got a big head. You know, all the people who knew him said that he was very self-deprecating. He was very modest, humble,
Very humble guy.
Very soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. Didn't say a whole lot. When he spoke, when he had remarkable insight to share. And, you know, and one of the fascinating things about him is here, probably no single human being has contributed more to the advancement of human knowledge than Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. And yet, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And he had that ability to sort of look into the universe and look into the future and figure out stuff that we cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. Most of us, really are... should be on our knees before Einstein. He was a giant.
A lot of science fiction writers, you know, also created a lot of.
And one of the things that fascinates me about Einstein is here's a guy who committed his whole life to scientific inquiry and the expansion of knowledge, and yet he seemed to have this really keen sense that knowledge doesn't take us all the way. There are unanswerable questions, mm-hmm. and he, the more answers he got, the more he realized there are questions I cannot answer, and that's where faith comes in. And when I use that term, I think some people think that, well, you're just trying to fill in the blanks. I think that's where, for Einstein, that's where imagination kicked in, where he had to. What he couldn't answer, he had to imagine mm-hmm. where to look, what questions even to ask. Just such a fascinating figure. And I think now we've got a party that is committed to facts and policy details and all of that, and we've got another party that just doesn't relate to facts the same way as the Democrats do. It's a party with a significant movement behind it that is really more faith-based. And I go back to what, you know, Karl Rove used to talk about back in the George W. Bush days. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength.
Right, right.
But you need to understand their strengths before you can really attack those strengths. And I think Democrats have made a big mistake by not spending enough time thinking about what Donald Trump's strengths are. They sort of leap to the conclusion he's just followed by a cult and that it just sort of blindly does whatever he wants them to do. People are sort of dumbfounded by why people would put their faith in this man. Mm-hmm. And they think he's corrupt, he's a convicted felon, and people go on and on and on about all of what his failings are or what his weaknesses are, and don't give very much thought to what his strengths are.
But his weaknesses and his strengths are the exact same thing. He lies. He's the best liar I've ever seen. And that is his strength. So how do you attack lying?
But as I wrote in the column, you know, how you would define fact and truth, mm-hmm. One of the lines I put in there is that on that side, seeing isn't believing. Believing is seeing. Mm-hmm. And they believe he's on their side. They believe that he has a vision for America that includes them, mm-hmm. and they feel excluded by the other side's vision of America. And so they are drawn to him like a magnet, and they will look past all the other stuff that Democrats are hung up on.
Yeah.
All of the things that we're outraged by on the left— they look past it all because they sense this guy has a vision for America that includes me and the other side doesn't. That creates a deep commitment on their part to him. And people on the Democratic side can't relate to that, can't fathom it. And that, I think, is a great mistake by people on the Democratic side to not really think about why they believe that he has a vision for America that includes them and the other side doesn't. And that brings me back to what Karl Rove always used to say, and he was the mastermind behind George W. Bush and all of his campaigns. You don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength. Remember what he did to John Kerry?
Yeah.
A decorated war veteran, and he went after him and painted him as soft on the military and
a deserter
and basically a deserter.
Yeah.
And here was a decorated war veteran.
Absolutely.
And he figured that's that guy's strength. We're going to take that strength away from him. And I don't see that on the left with Trump. Nobody's thinking. They just sort of explain away his strengths, and they sort of say, well, it's just imaginary, or it's there's nothing really to it, and it's just this cult following that he has, and they blame it on the voters. But there is something there that draws people to Trump and makes them loyal. And so I think the question on the left is not what the hell is wrong with the voters, but what the hell is wrong with us that we can't beat Donald Trump? If he's as flawed as we say he is, if he's as horrible as we say he is, why has he been elected president for the second time?
Good question. Now, do you think one of his strengths is just this charisma? I mean, when he's on stage, you can't take your eyes off of him. Whether you love him or hate him, you know, he commands that spotlight. And is there something about just this charisma that people, they can't turn away from it?
That's undoubtedly true, Gordy. But I guess here's where Einstein, what Einstein would say is, but why?
Yeah.
Why can't people turn away? Mm-hmm. Why are people drawn to him like a magnet? And I don't have the answer to that question, but what troubles me is that people don't even seek to explore that. Mm. They don't even really sit back and
That's
say,
true.
Let's really try to think. Let's suspend all of our preconceived notions or all our beliefs about how horrible Donald Trump is. And really think about what is it that makes people respond to him the way they do. And I think that's what Einstein would say to us, is you don't have the answer to that question, but you have to ask why. And you have to ask it earnestly. And you have to really explore that. Or, one of the things I wrote about is, you know, in that piece and Substack, is that we kind of have, you know, we have, team fact and
team faith.
And team faith.
Yeah.
And I think when people say, well, he's lying, so he's not being factual.
That's me.
That's the end of the story then for them. It's he should be rejected simply because he's not telling the truth.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who are voting for him are saying, yeah, I understand he's lying.
Yeah, they don't care.
Then they don't care that he's lying because they get it. They understand that he's lying. And I've talked to so many Trump voters who say, he's not really going to do that.
Right.
I don't take that seriously. Yeah, he says that, but he says a lot of things. And I don't really take it seriously. And yet, they feel very strongly that he should be their president. Mm-hmm. And I think the people on the left need to take that seriously and really put their minds to trying to figure out why. But that requires people to say, okay, what does Trump really have going for him? And that's something that people on the left have a real hard time doing because they don't want to give him any credit for any positive attribute.
Right. And
that's dangerous.
My theory has always been that he ran for 4 years. And in advertising, if you can describe your opponent and identify them and give people that impression of what you think that person is, you define who your opponent is first, they win. They get it. And he had 4 years to define his opponent and attack their strengths because the the opponent, the Biden administration, Bidenomics, actually helped the administration, and it helped the country, and it helped everybody out in this country, whether you know you were affected directly or indirectly. It helped everybody, and he attacked all of that.
And from the grave, Albert Einstein would say to you, John.
What would he say?
You don't know that. It's a theory. And you have to, one of the great lines that Albert Einstein had is he says, if you really think we know what we're doing as scientists, then why do we call it research? We search, yeah. And then we research because we don't have the answers. I think there needs to be enough humility to say, we don't know. We simply don't know why this guy has such a spell on the American people. And we need to seriously research that.
Talking with Substack blogger Mike McCabe here. We're going to continue. We're getting a bunch of texts in here right now. Let me hit one
let's
or two
through.
Of these.
Yeah.
According to the U.S. Department, this is from 1701. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of Americans can't read or write prose beyond a sixth grade level, and you wonder why people don't try to look into whether something is factual or not.
Tom and Jackson said, Trump, face it, people are racist. He allows people to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. And we got another text that says, how do you get through to people who've been brainwashed into thinking Democrats are evil, especially when these are an entire information
ecosystem
there are
that make billions pushing that propaganda. Yeah. So.
Lots of text coming in. You
can
text us.
That's very good. Good input.
608-879-8255 or jump on the Civic Media app. We can ponder those questions, I guess, all day long.
Do
we have answers?
Think if there's a Trump voter out in the audience listening, and here's those texts read over the air, and they're saying, I'm not brainwashed.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm not stupid. They think I'm stupid, and that probably makes me resent them a little bit more.
And they think I'm a racist.
And they think I'm a racist.
I resent that.
And that makes me resent them a little bit more.
Right.
And then we're surprised that they decide to vote against the people who feel that way about them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something to ponder.
Yep. We will be back with more.
We will continue this conversation
with Mike McCabe in just a moment. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Side or online at verlo.com. Talking with Mike McCabe. Got a couple of more texts here during the break. This one from Doug, our Milwaukee correspondent. He says, from the grave, Albert Einstein said, Trump's strength has been...
And is
misinformation. I don't know. Doug is channeling Albert Einstein from the grave.
I like what Gary said.
Yeah, what did he say?
People are shallow and lazy, so they'll fall for someone just like them.
Okay.
All right, there you go. See another negative, and people say, that's not me.
We thank you for those texts. Keep them coming. Got one more here. Mike, my women friends and I can't stand looking at or listening to this...
Anal-faced, spray-tanned criminal. Sorry. All we see is a predator and a rapist. Not sure where you're getting the awesomeness of this creep.
Hmm.
All right. Well,
I'm not. I don't believe he's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't. But I do acknowledge that he won more votes.
Yes.
And that he won more states, and that he got elected president of the United States, and You know, there's been this article of faith on the left for a long time that voters who would vote for somebody like Donald Trump or who vote Republican in general are voting against their own interests. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that a lot for years about people in rural areas. And I come from farm country. I grew up on a farm. And people have asked me so many times, I've lost count, you know, why do rural voters vote against their own interests? And my answer has always been the same. They're not voting against their own interests. They're voting for their interests as they define their interests, not as you define their interests.
Exactly.
You've decided what their interests are, and you're thinking they're voting against those interests. But you don't get to define their interests for them. They get to decide what is in their interest, and that's what they are voting for. And I think we need to give careful thought to what. How do they define their interests? How do they think this country should be run? And then make them a better offer. But if we just jump to the conclusion that, well, they don't even understand their own interests because they aren't listening to us about what their interests are, and they're voting against what we think their interests are. To me, that's a huge mistake. We've got to seriously think, what are they motivated by?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Catherine's in the studio with us. Good morning, Catherine. Come on in here.
I listen every Wednesday with great anticipation how Mike's going to make us feel better about
making
everything.
Us feel bad
and,
right now.
And now I've just
no,
pissed you all off.
No, he's making you feel bad. And I heard that on the way in. I'm like, oh, he's telling John he's not getting it right. And yeah. And it's real.
Oh, I wasn't writing it
I know
to
you,
John.
I know you weren't.
This was not a love letter to John.
I hear you. A dear John letter. What occurred to me, because I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Mike, and I agree, one of my, if you asked me, Catherine, what is your most hated thing that happens to me? What do I hate more than anything else when someone does to me? And it is talk down to me. Falsely accuse me.
Yep.
Those two things. You know, my dad talked down to me a lot. I got daddy issues or whatever. And I just grew up thinking, you are never going to talk down to me.
Right.
I'm not more smart than you are, but I don't, and therefore, you're not smarter than me. So don't talk down. So I think that's what, at the essence, Donald Trump never spoke down to anybody. He couldn't. Couldn't. He has no position to. So... That's the ultimate thing. I think about Harris at the rally I went to over at the Alliance Center, and everyone was so happy, but she wasn't talking down to us, but she was talking down to the people who aren't going to vote for her.
Well, yeah, Trump does talk down to a lot of people, the people he's not interested in.
Yeah.
And, of course, that makes us angry as well, just as it is the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, I don't know if you heard my story about my Christmas get-together, but my brothers voted for Trump.
Oh, Thanksgiving get-together. Yeah.
Right. Well, it was a Christmas.
Oh, right. Yeah. You mentioned that.
And they said, wait and see. You don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
You know, so if he does something good, we'll wait and see. And that was their point of view on that. And no matter what kind of example I could give, no matter how many people I could say, this person you're going to trust in that position, they didn't care. They absolutely didn't. They just said, wait and see what happens. And the last time, remember, when Trump was in power, a lot of people in the administration prevented him from doing all the bad things he wants to do. That's not going to be the case this time. And not only that, but then all of us now, everybody is going to be affected by what Trump does in this country. You know, these guys might have a lot of faith in him and think that he's not going to do all the things he says he's going to do. But you know what? We're all going to be affected by what he does. And they're going to take us down with them if everything goes down.
Yeah, you know, and I'm as troubled by what these next 4 years could bring as anybody. But, you know, Catherine probably summed up, you know, my article. She said it better than I did. Because when you really boil it down to its essence, right. The subliminal message from Democrats or from the left has been these people are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't see. And they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're stupidly voting for this. Mm-hmm. And that alone could make a whole bunch of people say, well, if that's what you think of me, I'm not on your side.
Mike, we have to leave it there.
Thanks
Mike
for
McCabe.
Bringing us down, Mike.
Mike is Mike will be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee tonight. What time?
6:30.
So check it out. He's going to be there signing books. His Miracle Along County Q, an excellent book, a great gift idea for the holidays. Mike, thanks again. We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll be talking with Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker will be here with us.
See what's coming up in education.
All right. That's it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
Is the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.